Hello, my name is Sean Campbell. I'm a PhD student with the University of Florida, and today I'm going to be talking about the influence of substrate type and substrate temperature on seed germination in butterfly pea. So if you're unfamiliar, butterfly pea, which is Clitoria ternitea, it's originated in the Asian tropics. It's a herbaceous perennial leguminous vine, and it produces deep blue to purple flowers. I included this last part because in the state of Florida, we're expecting if there is a commercial production of butterfly pea, it will very likely be for these blue to purple flowers. And that's because, and this is a quote, sea ternitea flower extract tends to be more convenient with a longer shelf life when compared to synthetic blue colorants. So again, when we expect there will be an industry for this, it will very likely be for the production of these flowers. So for our experimental design, it was to investigate two substrate factors on six seed germination parameters in C. ternitea across three different trials. So for the substrate types, we chose the Fafford 4P soilless substrate and Grodin rockwool, because those are both two very conventionally used substrates, in, at least for our research center. And then three different temperatures. That was 21.1 C, 26.7, and 32.2. Those were derived by basically looking at all the current literature, and we found what basically the consensus was as a high to low range, so we kind of tried to match those for the different growing environments we could find. And then for seed germination parameters, these were actually derived from two different publications, Rinal and Santana 2006, and then Rinal et al. 2009. And we included all six were in the publication, but only four for this presentation. And that was germination capacity, mean germination time, the coefficient of variation for the germination time, and then mean germination rate. And for future slides, when you see the asterisks, that's just significant at p-value less than 0.05. So for the germination setup, we built sort of a novel growing or a germination tower. So it consisted of a growing structure that we got from Gardener's Supply, basically a three-tier structure. And then each tier was outfitted with a humidity dome and then a digital heat mat and thermostat. So that's how we were able to manipulate that substrate temperature. And then also, if you notice on the bottom right, it had the little thermometer and humidity meter. So that was attached to the side of the humidity dome, and that's how we managed to kind of track it over time for our study. If you look in the bottom here, this is a picture of basically how it was set up. So you can see each level had both substrates, and then you can see a little cord coming in on that top right. That's actually a temperature probe. So that's how the heat mat is keeping track and making sure it's regulating the appropriate temperature. So starting with germination capacity, basically this was just looking at a binary response of at the end of our observation time, was it a germinated or a non-germinated seed? And this one we had, so for all of them, there was no significance in the substrate temperature by type interaction effects. So I'll be focusing more on the independent variables. But for this one, on temperature, there was not a significant difference between the three temperatures, but you can see a nice spread in germination percentage. And then for the substrate type, there actually was a significant difference, with rockwool performing significantly better. So you can see on the bottom right, that's just the top performing treatment, which was the 21.1C rockwool. So that had the highest germination capacity. For mean germination time, again, no significance for the interaction effect, but there was significance in both the temperature and type independent variables. So for temperature, you can see the 21.1C basically had the highest mean germination time, meant it took the longest for the seeds to fully germinate, followed by 26.7 and 32.2, and was a good significant spread there. And then also for the substrate type, the Rockwool significant, or excuse me, the Fafford 4P had a significantly shorter mean germination time. So in the bottom right, I included, again, this is the 32.2C Fafford 4P mix. And this actually had the shortest mean germination time. I included this one for a specific reason, and I'll allude back to that a little bit later on another slide. So for the germination time coefficient of variation, basically the amount of variability in relation to that mean germination time, again, significance for both temperature and type. So for the temperature, there was the least amount of variation for the 21.1C, and also for the type, the Rockwool showed the least amount of variation. Okay. And so for bottom right, I chose the one with the treatment effect that had the least amount of variation, and that was actually the 26.7C Rockwool. All right. And then finally, mean germination rate. So this is the reciprocal. Basically, instead of looking at the mean germination time, this was mean rate. And so this was significant for both temperature and type. So you can see that the 21.1C had the slowest rate, followed by 26.7 and 32.2, which as well, the Rockwool had a significantly slower rate than the Fafford 4P mix. So the image I chose to show was the 21.1C because that had the lowest mean germination rate, which again, I'm going to tell you why I put that one in just 1 second. Okay, so looking at the substrate type independent variable, some of our conclusions, we found that the Rockwool produced a higher percentage of viable germinated seeds in a more consistent amount of time and at a more consistent rate than the Fafford 4P mix. So the images on the right, I included both the 21.1C substrate temperature, but the two different substrate types. So the Rockwool had on average, significantly higher germination capacity. And again, that in the end was what we considered to be the most important variable. So in a commercial setting, you want the highest percentage of viable germinated seeds. So we concluded again that this is likely due to Rockwool's consistent production methods and high water and nutrient holding capacity. So when you're dealing with different substrates, there's again a lot of variability, but on average, Rockwool is made in a way that tends to have very consistent production methods. They actually did an analysis and found that 98% of applied irrigation and fertilizer will be readily available to the plant. So for the substrate temperature independent variable, found that the 21.1C substrate temperature produced a higher, again, percentage of germinated seeds in a more consistent time and at a more consistent rate than the 26.7 or the 32.2 Celsius treatments. This is likely a mechanism of encouraging germination during ideal conditions. This is a pretty well-established conclusion. But you can see on the bottom that, again, I included the Rockwool treatments because those were significantly better, and then the three different germination temperatures. This one you will notice that this is where you can see that the mean germination rate and time is a little bit different. The 32.2C is produced larger plants. They tend to have more mature, more leaf area, but again, your germination capacity, your percentage of viable germinated seeds will go down. All right, so for conclusions, spend a little bit more time here. Although faster germination is often desired to reduce production time and commercial plant cultivation operations, I'm not sure if many people are familiar, I'm actually based out of the Mid-Florida Research and Education Center. A large part of what we do is actually extension-based applications. So when I mentioned earlier that we expect there will be a commercial production of this floor, flowers, and that, we're primarily making this publication for our local production operations. So our liner producing greenhouses and places like that. So again, while a higher mean germination rate and a lower mean germination time is often desired, this can lead to uneven or retarded emergence and a lack of consistency in germination capacity. So if you look at the three on the right, I chose the three treatment combinations that had the highest germination capacity, but these also were the three that had the highest mean germination time. So given a high priority on uniformity, these results would suggest that commercial germination of C. ternitia is maximized when the Rockwell substrate type is used and at the lower substrate temperature of 21.1 Celsius. This was actually a first round. We've since done a second round where we've refined the germination temperature and included some different seed scarification and things like that. But again, we found very good results with this. So, thank you. I think I might have gone a little bit fast. 3 minutes? Okay, we have 3 minutes for questions. Seed source was actually originally Amazon. Unfortunately, there are not too many places to find butterfly pea seeds at this time. So what we did, again, ordered them from Amazon, grew them up in our greenhouse, selected a single plant, harvested seed from that plant, and then that was what was used for the germination study. So all the seed would be genetically identical from a single plant, but admittedly Amazon.
So. When you grow it in Rockwell, I'm wondering how you continue to grow it. Do you then put that Rockwell sheet onto the soil, or do you grow it hydroponically? How do you grow it to seed?
I guess that would be up to the operations choice. What we've done in our the research center is you just separate the cubes, put those directly into a pot with soil, and then continue to grow them up in the greenhouse. You can also sow them directly in the fields. We've done that for a couple. But in Florida, in the middle of summer, they don't really like to go directly into the fields, so we've had much better success rearing them up in the greenhouse for a few weeks and then transferring them out there. But I would like to investigate hydroponic production. It hasn't really been done as far as I know, but that would be an ideal step forward. So.
Does this grow as a vine, and what kind of like yields of flowers do you get?
It does. So I believe it's a bine, not a vine, with the difference being it doesn't produce a tendril to hold on. It actually wraps around. And actually rather good flower production. So we're looking at how to maximize that in the state of Florida right now. Again, this is something we're investigating as a potential citrus replacement crop or a potential just production crop in general for the state of Florida. But very good production yield of flowers, and then actually a somewhat high value for the flower that's only increasing. We found that every day more and more publications are coming out, more on the novelty side, things like you can make color-changing cocktails, noodles, different things like that. So we joke it's the hipster factor, but it has really, really increased the amount of tension we've gotten over the research. So, all right, I think I'm getting.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.